In the sweltering heat of 1930s Moscow, the impossible happens. Satan himself arrives in the guise of Professor Woland, a specialist in black magic. What follows is a dizzy and carnival of the absurd, as this diabolical visitor and his bizarre entourage, including a gun-toting, vodka-drinking cat named Behemoth, unleash chaos across the atheistic Soviet capital. But this supernatural invasion serves a deeper purpose. Mikhail Bulgakov's masterpiece, written in secret during Stalin's regime and published decades after his death, weaves together two parallel narratives: the devil's mischievous visit to Moscow and the haunting story of Pontius Pilate's encounter with Jesus. Through this audacious structure, Bulgakov delivers a searing critique of Soviet society while exploring timeless questions about courage, cowardice, and the redemptive power of love and art. Imagine dedicating your life to a work of art only to watch it burn. This is the tragedy of the master, a former historian who abandons his career to write a novel about Pontius Pilate's encounter with Jesus. In his basement apartment, he creates a work of startling originality, not religious propaganda, but a human portrait of a troubled Roman procurator facing an ethical dilemma. When he attempts to publish, Soviet critics savage him for Piloticism and smuggling an apology for Jesus Christ into print. Driven to despair, the master burns his manuscript and enters a psychiatric hospital. The master's story captures the plight of artists under totalitarianism. Like Bulgakov himself, whose works were banned for the last 13 years of his life, the master faces a system demanding ideological conformity. His novel threatens the official atheist narrative by humanizing biblical figures. Yet even as the pages burn, the truth proves indestructible. Manuscripts don't burn, as Woland later declares in one of literature's most defiant assertions of artistic immortality. What would you sacrifice for love? For Margarita Nikolaevna, a beautiful, intelligent woman trapped in a comfortable but empty marriage, the answer is everything. When her beloved master disappears, she declares she would go to the devil himself to find him, and does exactly that. Accepting a mysterious cream from Woland's associate, Margarita transforms into a witch with supernatural powers and eternal youth. She soars naked over Moscow on a broomstick, experiencing intoxicating freedom and wreaking havoc on the critic who destroyed the master's career. Later, she serves as hostess at Satan's grand ball, greeting history's most notorious sinners while wearing only blood and a burning diamond crown. What makes Margarita extraordinary is her moral choice. When offered any reward, she first requests mercy for a stranger condemned to eternal torment before asking for the master's return. This selfless compassion reveals love's redemptive power. Unlike Faust, Margarita's deal with the devil leads not to damnation, but to transcendence, suggesting pure love can navigate even the darkest circumstances. Why would the devil visit an atheist state? In Bulgakov's Moscow, Satan doesn't come to corrupt souls. They're doing fine on their own, but to expose hypocrisy and deliver justice. Woland's first victim is Berlioz, the literary editor who denies Jesus and the devil moments before losing his head under a streetcar. The irony is perfect. The man who denies supernatural forces dies exactly as the supernatural predicted. Woland's retinue, the fanged Azazello, wisecracking cat Behemoth, and jester Korovyev, target Soviet society's corrupt infrastructure. They expose housing officials' black market dealings and reveal the elite's hidden privileges. At the Variety Theater, their black magic seance showers the audience with money and clothes that later vanish, leaving women running through Moscow in their underwear. A metaphor for the Soviet system's empty promises. Woland punishes the greedy, hypocritical, and informers. When the master's apartment is stolen through denunciation, Woland's team ejects the usurper and erases all documentary evidence of his residency. In a bureaucratic state where paperwork determines reality, this supernatural manipulation represents ultimate power. Cowardice is the worst of all vices. This judgment from Yeshua HaNozri, Jesus, to Pontius Pilate forms the moral center of Bulgakov's novel. The pilot chapters, presented as the master's novel within the novel, reimagine the biblical story as a human tragedy of moral failure. Pilate, suffering from migraines and contempt for Judea, meets Yeshua and feels drawn to this philosopher who speaks truth regardless of consequences. When Yeshua mysteriously eases his headache, Pilate seeks to save him, but ultimately chooses political expedience over justice, condemning a man he admires. The consequences are eternal. For 2,000 years, Pilate sits on a rocky mountaintop during full moons, tormented by insomnia, dreaming of walking a moonbeam path to continue his conversation with Yeshua, believing he didn't finish something in their brief meeting. This portrayal transforms a one-dimensional villain into a complex figure, whose suffering emerges from his own moral failure. Through this reimagining, Bulgakov asks us to consider the price of choosing safety over truth. The novel's dual narrative, alternating between 1930s Moscow and ancient Jerusalem, creates a powerful dialogue across time. In Moscow, Soviet bureaucracy confronts inexplicable supernatural forces. In Jerusalem, we witness the tragic consequences of political expediency over moral courage. These worlds mirror each other in surprising ways. Both settings feature systems that deny truth: Soviet atheism rejecting spiritual realities, Roman authority suppressing dissent. Both showcase the dangers of conformity and reveal how individuals navigate these systems, choosing between integrity and survival. Characters form meaningful parallels too. Ivan Homeless transforms from conformist poet to the master's disciple after encountering Woland. Similarly, Matthew Levi witnesses Yeshua's execution and preserves his teachings despite danger. Both choose truth over safety, becoming keepers of narratives that contradict official reality. These parallels suggest human nature and moral challenges remain constant across centuries. Whether in ancient Jerusalem or Soviet Moscow, individuals must choose between courage and cowardice, between truth and comfortable lies, a timeless meditation on how power operates and how integrity persists within oppressive systems. In the novel's conclusion, the master and Margarita drink poisoned wine that grants them transformation rather than death. Escorted by Woland's supernatural retinue, they enter a liminal realm where the master frees Pontius Pilate with the words, "You are free," allowing him to join Yeshua and continue their conversation. This ending reveals art's power to redeem profound moral failures. The master's novel, the truth he refused to compromise despite persecution, becomes Pilate's salvation. Through storytelling, he bridges time to offer mercy to a man tormented by cowardice. This redemptive act mirrors Bulgakov's own achievement, writing truth under a regime demanding lies, creating beauty amid destruction, and affirming human spirit against oppressive forces. The final image, Ivan Nikolaevich experiencing dreams of the master and Margarita in their eternal refuge, suggests art creates immortality. Though physically gone, their story lives on in Ivan, transformed from propaganda poet to keeper of forbidden truths. What endures? Love transcending death, truth surviving suppression, and art outlasting systems that tried to destroy it. Bulgakov offers a vision of redemption through creative courage and love's transformative power.